Hey, everybody. Tan the Charlie Kirk Show and Ask Me Anything episode. I take your questions that you've emailed me, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. You can email me all throughout the week. Should Pelosi still go to Taiwan, given the Chinese threats? What do you make of the congressional baseball game, 10-0 result in favor of Republicans? And we talk about many other important issues on this episode that you've emailed me, freedom@charliekirk.com, including illegals going to Washington, D.C. and New York, and so much more. Support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Big week ahead. Thank you for those of you that bought the book at collegescam.com. That is collegescam.com. If you want to email me, freedom@charliekirk.com, I always appreciate it. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. Hi, Charlie. Why is the mayor of Washington, D.C. activating the National Guard for the wave of illegals, but none of the Republican governors are? Jack from Philadelphia. Well, first, do you remember how Muriel Bowser treated the National Guard and Nancy Pelosi treated the National Guard after January 6th? Do you remember that they had them sleeping in parking garages and in basements, totally abusing them while D.C. was under legitimate military occupation, completely unnecessary? When the entire Capitol became a military zone, we were under a form of martial law in Washington, D.C. post-January 6th? That's number one. Number two, it does beg the question, how and why is the Democrat mayor of Washington, D.C. able to mobilize the National Guard, but Greg Abbott isn't able to mobilize the National Guard, or Doug Ducey is not able to mobilize the National Guard? Why is a Democrat allowed to use the National Guard, but Republicans are not? Now, we've said this for quite a while. We have a no-excuse policy here on the Charlie Kirk Show. We believe that Republican state leaders should give the first deference for a period of time to the federal government. For example, you're the governor of Texas, and Joe Biden gets sworn in after being implemented as president, not elected, getting implemented as president on January 20th or whatever it was, 2021. You give him a month saying, okay, the federal government, the border, what are you going to do? Maybe give him 2 months. But after that, the press releases have to stop, the op-eds have to discontinue, and we believe that leaders and people that have courage will act. Lead, follow, or get out of the way. We've said this multiple times. Republican leaders are far more comfortable, and that's an interesting word, isn't it? They're more comfortable writing press releases and sending out memos and doing photo ops than actually mobilizing the government to go fix a problem. Democrats, on the other hand, they love mobilizing the National Guard. Like, sure, National Guard, let's do it. Why haven't Republicans done that in Texas, Arizona? Cut 88 is Muriel Bowser, Washington, D.C. mayor, calling for the National Guard amid illegal migrants being sent into the city. Play cut 88.
And I've also asked the Secretary of the Army to deploy the D.C. National Guard to help lead that effort. So I've asked for the deployment of the Guard, as long as we need the Guard to deal with the humanitarian crisis that we expect to escalate. The number of people crossing the border seeking asylum, we expect to only go up.
So without any sort of hesitation, let's just go mobilize the National Guard. And yet Republican governors are afraid to do that. To my knowledge, Connor, I've been looking at it. I don't think Texas has mobilized the National Guard at all. I think maybe a little bit here and there, Texas Rangers or Texas Special Forces. Why haven't we totally and completely militarized the southern border? Why is that? Excuses, press releases, memos. And that is why I put the entire blame, all of the blame, on the invasion of our country on Republican governors. We are being invaded by the Sinaloa drug cartel. We're being invaded by foreign influences, and it's Republicans that are allowing it to happen. But as soon as Washington, D.C. gets invaded, Muriel Bowser acts like a leader and she says, I want the National Guard. Of course it's hypocritical. Of course it's transparently insane. Of course it's silly. But you're all missing the point. Democrats are willing to use political power to defend their home. She doesn't want a bunch of Hondurans and Nicaraguans walking around Georgetown, not knowing who they are. By the way, not vaccinated, not tested. Muriel Bowser says, yeah, let's bring in the National Guard. We want them out of here. And what do Republican governors do? They write a press release. Democrats are far more willing to use political power to actually get something done than Republicans are. The governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, a couple weeks ago, did indeed authorize the Texas National Guard, Department of Safety, to return illegal immigrants to the border under Title 42 expulsion. Now, to what extent and why it took him so long, about 12 months too late, is a mystery. Governor Abbott has said he's going to secure $4 billion in funding for Texas border security efforts, allotting resources that include up to 1,700 unused steel panels to help build the border wall in Texas. It took Bowser about a week to get to the point to ask the National Guard for help. And by the way, I doubt that Texas is doing nearly enough with this. We need an army on the southern border. We need 100,000 to 150,000 people to have a zero-tolerance policy of anybody invading America. And it's not just Muriel Bowser who is talking about this. New York City Mayor Eric Adams, and if I can say, he has been the greatest political disappointment over the last 12 months. Is that fair to say, Connor? There's been a lot of political disappointments, but Eric Adams, I had hoped that he was at least going to be somewhat normal. He has been just as bad as Bill de Blasio, and in some ways actually worse. I was just in New York City a couple days ago for the launch of our book, College Scam. You guys can get it at collegescam.com. And it is a filthier city than ever before. It is gross. It is a mess. It's chaos. The police are demoralized. But now Eric Adams is saying, listen, the flow of illegals into New York City, it's going to deteriorate our public services. Play cut 34.
And we can't have the historical, I believe people should be housed, but just don't house them on my block. Everyone's block is going to be impacted by this. And so we have to add our advocacy with our ability to help our neighbors. And we need everyone on board with this, you know, because as I stated last week, our schools are going to be impacted. Our healthcare system is going to be impacted. Our infrastructure is going to be impacted.
What really bothers me about Eric Adams is how he lied and deceived voters. I know a lot of people in New York City that voted for him in the primary thinking he was going to be a law and order candidate. And he has been the opposite. I don't know what they have on him. I don't know what sort of blackmail they have over him. Even Tucker Carlson did a couple segments platforming Eric Adams. He ran as a moderate, but New York City, I don't know the statistics, and honestly, I don't care about the statistics. I think the statistics are probably that crime is up in New York City. It's probably just a guess, but I care less about the statistics because just from being in New York City, it felt like a completely different country, a different nation, different country, different city. I saw it myself. It's fallen apart. It's over. Now, with the right leadership, it can be resurrected, it can be revived, but that also means the dude that was defecating on the side of the street, you go take care of that. Or the broken windows, or the abandoned storefronts, or the closed restaurants. You have to act with action. You see, New York City worked for a while because of leadership and because of an agreement on law and order. It is complete bedlam right now. And I think that's the way they want it. I don't really understand the agenda. I mean, again, New York City's rated the unhappiest city in America. But I can't imagine that Eric Adams thinks he's doing a good job. And what's amazing is that he had a mandate to go fix this stuff. He had a mandate to go deploy police. I asked plenty of police, do you guys like Eric Adams? Hate him. Awful. Terrible. He's no respect. You can do whatever you want in New York City and get away with it. It is an unsafe city. People are getting mugged in Wall Street every night. That never used to happen. You have to walk around with security at night in certain parts of New York City just to be safe. Meanwhile, we have a massive skyrocketing crime problem that just seems as if they get away with it. New York City Police Department makes fitness tests easier after increased retirements. Yeah, that's what we need. We need to make the fitness test easier for New York City police officers. Ridiculous. We're blessed to live in the greatest nation ever to exist in the history of the world. Luke 12:48 says, quote, "To whom much has been given, much will be required." We as Christians can shape our world. One of these ways is how we steward our finances and our money. If you have money and stocks, you have the power to affect change through your investments. Jesus spoke about money in roughly 15% of his teachings and 11 out of 39 of his parables. How do we follow his teachings about money? Well, my friends at Pax Financial can help. I've opened an account with them. I think very highly of them. They are fiduciaries that will make sure you have a responsible plan to retire. I trust them with my money, and I hope you will as well. But look, they will also help you invest in companies that align with your beliefs. No companies that engage in pornography or in excessive drinking or in a degenerate lifestyle. If you have $150,000 to invest, please text my name, Charlie, to the number 74868. And even if you don't have $150,000, maybe they'll make an exception for you. I don't know, but just learn more about them. Look, text Charlie to 74868. Take advantage of the power to make a difference with your money. Pax Financial. It was great for me. I think it will be terrific for you. Rachel from Boulder says, Charlie, China is threatening to shoot Pelosi out of the sky if she goes to Taiwan. Should she still go? Yes, she should. You cannot bend a knee to the Chinese Communist Party. I said this, however, on Fox News on Outnumbered, where I do not think this is nearly as heated as they would lead us to believe. Now, I will say the latest tweet from the Chinese state media is very spicy. In fact, it's spicy as it gets. Hu Shuang said, quote, "If U.S. fighter jets escort Pelosi's plane into Taiwan, it is an invasion. The PLA has the right to forcibly dispel Pelosi's plane and the U.S. fighter jets, including firing warning shots and making tactical movement of obstruction. If ineffective, then shoot them down." Yeah, be my guest, Chinese Communist Party. You guys are all talk and no bite. All bark and no bite. But I don't believe that's really what's happening here. I think that Peter Schweitzer articulated this best in his book. What was the name of his book? I can't remember his book. And it's all about this idea of elite capture and little bad mouth and big help. I'll talk about that in a second, but let's play this tape here to frame it. I think this is far murkier than the media is leading us to believe. Play cut 102.
First, though, I want to just read out that concerning suggestion from Chinese state media that the Chinese could potentially shoot down Pelosi's plane. They said on Twitter, "If U.S. fighter jets escort Pelosi's plane into Taiwan, it is an invasion. The PLA has the right to forcibly dispel Pelosi's plane and the U.S. fighter jets, including firing warning shots and making tactical movement of obstruction. If ineffective, then shoot them down."
Yeah, and so this is what's so funny to me. That's how the Chinese talk to us, yet we let them buy farmland next to our military bases in North Dakota. Like, yeah, please come buy our farmland. By the way, if you fly into Taiwan, we're going to shoot you down. I'm still a little bit skeptical of this, though. I don't think this is actually what's happening. I think the Chinese Communist Party has no intent to shoot any airplane down. They're trying to reinforce their territorial sovereignty over Taiwan, which is a fiction. Taiwan is a sovereign country. And just so you understand what happened here, the Republic of China was driven out of China into Taiwan, and they consider Taiwan to be the continuation of that Republic of China, and then the Communist Revolution happened in mainland China with Mao Zedong creating the PLA and now the Chinese Communist Party. And so they believe Taiwan, which also I believe is the island of Formosa, if I'm not mistaken, the beautiful island. something like that. We could find the fact check on that. And, or something, yeah, something about the beautiful, the Isle of Beauty or something like that. It was a Spanish trading port, if I'm not mistaken, way back when. Or it was the Dutch. I'm sorry. It was the Dutch that used to control it. I'm getting my colonial powers confused. And so anyway, Taiwan, it's Formosa. Thank you. Dates back to 1542. Yep, Portuguese. Okay, yep, the beautiful island. There you go. It's Portuguese, not Hermosa. That would be Spanish. The point is this, is that Taiwan then had their own sovereign government, which was far more, let's say, civilized than the Chinese Communist Party. They had a Chinese Civil War, you might remember, in the 1940s. 1949, after losing control of mainland China, then the ROC, the Republic of China, under the KMT, then they basically retreated to Taiwan. And so the KMT, otherwise known as the Kuomintang, ruled Taiwan and basically formed the nation otherwise known as Taiwan. Some people considered all of this growth and economic industrialization to be known as the Taiwanese miracle. They held their first ever presidential election in 1996. And Taiwan is an island, just for all the geography buffs out there. And Taiwan is very, very close to mainland China. The South China Sea is what divides mainland China from Taiwan. Taiwan is not a small country at all. Taiwan has a serious population, obviously nothing similar to China or mainland China, but it's not something that could be taken over immediately. The population of Taiwan is 23 million people, with some major cities such as Taipei. But the Chinese Communist Party views Taiwan the same way that Vladimir Putin views eastern Ukraine. It's mine. I want it. Now, the difference is, though, is that many people in Taiwan do not want to be part of the Chinese Communist Party. I'm going to stay on this topic. I think it's very important, but I just find it ridiculous. The Chinese Communist Party can threaten to shoot our airplanes out of the sky, and yet we can't tell them they can't buy farmland in North Dakota, and yet a Republican governor in North Dakota wants them to buy farmland. It's not a serious country. So to complete the point, I do think that Pelosi should go, obviously. I think that Republicans should join here, and we should make it a big show of support. However, I doubt that Pelosi is actually afraid that she's going to get shot down. There is an expression that Peter Schweitzer used in his book, Red-Handed, that the Chinese Communist Party is actually okay with talking back and forth. A lot of back and forth, talking. What they are not okay with is action. So they call it little bad mouth, big help. I'm just distracted because Andrew just sent us something that we are. Are we number four overall? Is that all right? Or is that, that looks like it's in a category. I don't think that's overall. Is that right? I guess it is overall because Sea of Tranquility is not in our category. Yeah, we're number four in Amazon overall for collegescam.com. It's amazing. Praise God. Number four in Amazon. And that's even with less promo than usual there. So that's really good. Help us pass up the big lie. Is that right? We're right near the big lie on amazon.com. Sorry, I was distracted. Andrew was, hey, Charlie, congrats. I said, wow, that's really cool. So number four overall on Amazon. That's great. What was the highest that we got? Is that the highest? I haven't even been tracking it. Again, that stuff used to, I used to be hawking. We probably were higher than that yesterday. Yeah, this is the highest. Great, number four on Amazon. Let's see if we can get it up. Thank you, guys. You guys are amazing that buy the book, collegescam.com. That's a big deal. It really is, considering last time we went on Mark Levin's show, and he was so beautiful and amazing to us on Fox News. And this time we've been doing hits and working really hard. Yeah, that's exactly. Andrew said it's no gaming. That's pure sales. Number four on Amazon overall. I didn't even look at it. It's crazy. Sales up 171%. That's what it says on Amazon.com. By the way, all proceeds go to Turning Point USA, tpusa.com. And so we've been mostly pushing, by the way, collegescam.com. If we've been pushing Amazon, that just goes to show a real natural lift. It's a really great thing. And by the way, we're not done promoting it. We got more coming. Anyway, I'm sorry I got distracted there, but it was kind of a cool little moment there. And honestly, a good thing for humanity. The more people that buy this book, it's a good thing for the civilization, I believe. I do not believe that China has any intent to shoot down Nancy Pelosi's plane. I think that all of this is a welcomed public relations dispute to make it seem as if they really are concerned that a Speaker of the House goes to Taiwan to prevent against a serious forensic examination of the origins of the Wuhan virus, of punitive sanctions, of the restricting of their Belt and Road Initiative. Said plainly, I'm going to do my best to articulate this, the Chinese Communist Party is intentionally trying to make a mountain out of a molehill to distract from all the other crimes they've committed against humanity. It's in China's best interest to draw the line early than to act as if they're okay with the Taiwan thing and eventually get pushed around. We have a piece of tape I want to play in just a second of the great Peter Doocy asking Jean-Pierre about the Taiwan situation. We'll get that in just a second. But to answer the question, do I think Pelosi should go to Taiwan? Of course I do. But I also do not believe for a second that this is, I make no mystery and no mistake of this, I don't actually think this is a huge threat to the Chinese Communist Party. I think this is actually a welcomed controversy. It gets their hatred of Taiwan back into the news cycle. No one's talking about the Chinese coronavirus and the fact that it was likely manufactured in a laboratory. This is Peter Doocy asking about Taiwan, Play Cut 104.
Okay. Thanks, Green. An official who is associated with Chinese state media is suggesting that if Speaker Pelosi tries to go to Taiwan, her plane could be shot down. Does the president have a response to that?
You know, I've been asked about, I know you're asking specifically about the rhetoric that we're hearing from China, but as it relates to the speaker's travels, it's something that we're just not going to speak to. Right now, that's a hypothetical. We're just not going to speak on her schedule. As we have said multiple times, we give advice and guidance to any members of Congress where they travel, to the region they travel, whether an advice on geopolitical situation in the region or in the country, and any national security issues that may arise. But again, I'm not going to speak to a hypothetical.
Not going to speak to a hypothetical. That does not exactly convey confidence. I think Pelosi should go. I think it's the right thing. I think you should always stick the Chinese, poke them in the eye if possible. Not a fan of the Chinese Communist Party at all, but also Pelosi has been carrying the water to the Chinese Communist Party the last couple of years. I think this whole thing is theatrics. Little bad mouth, big help. That is a Chinese Communist Party phrase of how they view American leaders. They talk a little bad, but they're a big help to their agenda. Okay, let's get to the next question here. Charlie, what does it mean for our society if we have zero trust in our media? What is the societal implication of such a massive loss of trust? How did it happen? George from Detroit. So there is a new poll that Glenn Greenwald has tweeted out. We got to get Glenn on the show. We were emailing back and forth about it. I really want that. So they asked people, in 2022, what institutions do you trust? Do you trust them or not? Small businesses are trusted by 68% of Americans. The military by 64% of Americans. The police only 45% of Americans, down six points, by the way. I'm sure Uvalde did not help. The medical system is trusted by 38% of Americans, down 6 points. The church is trusted by 31% of Americans, down 6 points. Public schools are trusted by 28% of Americans, down 4 points. Organized labor, trusted by 28% of Americans, zero change there. Banks, 27%, down 6 points. Large technology companies, 26, down 3 points. The U.S. Supreme Court, 25%, down 11 points. The presidency, 23%, down 15 points. Newspapers, 16%, down 5 points. The criminal justice system, 14%, down 6 points. Big business, at 14%, down 4 points. Television news at 11%, down 5 points. And Congress, 7% people trust Congress, down 5 points. Now, I just want to say that besides small businesses and the military, every other institution in America is largely distrusted. That is not a good thing. You cannot have a country where a majority of people distrust the police, the medical system, the church, the public schools, organized labor, banks, tech companies, Supreme Court, the presidency, newspapers, criminal justice system, big business, television news, and Congress. What is happening is I believe this is the greatest threat to the Great Reset. I really do. The Great Reset hinges on people trusting the big and the powerful. I take this a little differently than most. The fact that small businesses are valued and trusted more than television news by a 57-point margin, I think is a wonderful thing. The fact that small businesses are trusted by a 61-point margin more than Congress, I think is a great thing. People are demanding smaller and local things that they can touch and they can trust by looking in the eyes. And the far-off distant power centers of Silicon Valley and New York City and Washington, D.C., people are getting increasingly repulsed by them. Every single institution lost trust this last year. The police lost trust. The medical system lost trust. The church lost trust. Public schools lost trust. Banks lost trust. Large technology companies lost trust. Now, this is not a healthy thing long term. You can't have a sustainable country. We have to rebuild these institutions and recapture them. But what does the medical system, public schools, banks, tech companies, the presidency, newspapers, big business, television news all have in common? They have been wholly taken over and infected by the woke idea pathogen. Every single one of them. And what this shows us is that these major institutions, once a bedrock of American society, that were allowed a platform, people don't want to deal with them anymore. What an amazing entrepreneurial opportunity, by the way, to go build new institutions. We need to challenge the big. We value the small over the large. Glenn Greenwald wrote about this, quote, "This is how liberal journalists and corporate media have completely destroyed their credibility. It's why nobody trusts them. They make up lies or recklessly spread lies about anyone they regard as their ideological enemy. And almost everyone knows this." And so it is time for the continued growth of bottom up, not top down. Why is it that the medical system now has a majority unfavorability rating? Why is it the media has a majority unfavorability rating? It's because they've told us so many lies repeatedly, and there is a common theme. I think trust would go up if Congress or the media or the medical system all had one thing that they would do. They could boost their approval rating. If they would just admit they did something wrong and apologize, it would go a long way in rebuilding their trust. It is the lack of any self-awareness and apologies that I think angers people. As if, oh, come on, the whole time we knew we were in a recession. Or inflation's always been here. What are you, stupid? Like, go vote for the Reduce Inflation Act. How are we going to do it? We're going to go spend more money. It is an insult to people's basic intelligence. And that is actually part of the strategy. Trust would go up, by the way, if we stopped all of this illegal immigration. Unfettered immigration, both legal and illegal, breeds a nation of strangers. Aristotle said it best. Familiarity, knowing who your neighbor is, breeds a greater degree of mutual trust. If I feel as if I'm living in a country of foreigners and strangers, what are the common ties that bind us together? Our dollar, our currency? Like, you wear blue jeans and eat hamburgers? Like, that's not a culture. A culture is a shared history. It's a language. It's a story. And we don't even have the same language anymore, by the way. This is not a great thing, the fact that institutions are crumbling and people's trust are lower. But honestly, it gives me more hope. It would be more depressing, honestly, if all these institutions had super high approval ratings after everything done. So it's not a great thing for the society, but it is not an awful thing, the fact that people are actually honestly diagnosing them. So we got to fix it. Charlie Kirk here. MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You all have helped MyPillow become an amazing company. and really, honestly, become what it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, inventor and CEO of MyPillow, great American, wants to give back exclusively to his listeners. The Percale bed sheet is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're all on sale. For example, the queen size is regularly $89.98, but now it's only $39.98 with our listener promo code. Order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percale sheets are breathable, and they have a cold, crisp feel. These come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out today on this incredible offer. This is a limited-time supply, so make sure to order now. Go to 1-800-875-0425 now and use promo code KIRK, or go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code KIRK. This offer will not last long, and they're known to sell quick, so order now with promo code KIRK at MyPillow.com. Someone asked the question, Charlie, you always talk about defending children. What are some examples I can use about how radical the left has become on trans issues? There's two questions I want to get here before the end of the hour, so we're going to go quick. Let's play cut 21. Doctor saying the youngest person that did top surgery on was a 12-year-old. This is child abuse. It should be illegal. Play cut 21.
Yeah, I think folks have kind of covered the blockers and hormones, but I'll talk about surgical care a little bit. In terms of masculinizing top surgery, I think 12 is the youngest who's had surgery through our program.
Now, this seems to be some sort of a doctor or medical retreat panel. Continues, cut 54, L.A. pediatrician says it's no big deal to cut off the breasts of teenage girls. You can just go and get them later. This is a patent lie, as if it's taking a hat on or getting a haircut. Play cut 54.
But so what we do know is that adolescents actually have the capacity to make a reasoned, logical decision. And here's the other thing about chest surgery. If you want breasts at a later point in your life, you can go and get them.
It's unbelievable. Yes, that adolescents have the ability to make reasoned decisions. Then why is it they want to raise the age to own an assault rifle then? If a 14-year-old can choose to cut off their breasts, why can't a 14-year-old go buy an assault weapon? One of these things does not belong. So let me get this straight. You could cut off your genitals and chemically castrate yourself, but if you want to go buy a firearm, we don't trust you. Levine, the man who thinks he's a woman, who runs some sort of medical thing in D.C., I can never remember, Rear Admiral, the whole thing is so bizarre, says gender-affirming care is life-saving and medically necessary. Play cut 74.
Gender-affirming care is life-saving, medically necessary, age-appropriate, and a critical tool for healthcare providers. As a pediatrician, when it comes to making sure kids are healthy and happy, I know how important care that affirmed someone's true identity can be.
Yeah, I mean, I don't need to be lectured by a dude who thinks he's a woman about medical care and taking care of children. Just sit this one out. In fact, you shouldn't be in our government. Wish the best for you, finding sympathy with a psychologist or someone who knows what they're doing to make you stop doing this whole thing. Same goes with the dude running our nuclear arsenal that wears dresses all the time. It's sick. It's perverted. Okay, other question here, final question, is this one here. Boy, where's the question? It's something about, oh yeah, Charlie, did you watch the game last night? Republicans dominated 10-0. Pretty cool, right, Gene from Tacoma? Talking about the congressional baseball game. Now, traditionally, Democrats win the congressional baseball game. And Republicans the last couple years have been winning and winning big. So some freak went by the Republican side and flicked them off. I don't know who this is. A Representative Linda Sanchez. But I think you're going to see a lot more Republican victories for years to come. Because as the Democrat Party has become increasingly androgynous with the men that they recruit to run for Congress, they just don't have the testosterone to win the congressional baseball game anymore. Yeah, I know they got Representative, was that guy Hurd or whatever his name is, or the football player from Dallas. But let's just be honest, that as the Democrat Party continues to recruit people like Eric Swalwell and Republicans elect strong men and strong women, let's just be honest. I wouldn't want to run up against the Republicans. I mean, just look at this. This shows the energy of the parents' movement. You telling me you want to experience Kat Kamick charging the plate? Play cut 105.
For my life, I will always want you. I came in like a wreck.
I mean, whoever that catcher is for the Democrats, that's impressive. They held on to the ball. By the way, that's not even allowed in Major League Baseball. I mean, that was just full-on UFC collision. So, yes, to answer your question here, I didn't watch the game. I heard about it, though. But over the next 10 years, if you were on betting odds, as the Democrats embrace more of the androgynous man and what is a woman, I think you're going to see more and more victories out of the more alpha males that are running for Republicans and the don't mess with me moms like Kat Kamick. Boy, watch out. Just that alone, even though that she was out at home, and then the Democrats said, forget it, we're going to lose this game. You don't want to mess with that. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.